Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And today, the return as producer, Troy Farkas, filling in for Taylor Schwenk. Troy Farkas, of course, produced the podcast for about half the season last year, and he's still a crazy Rangers fan. Troy, welcome.
Thanks, Buster, for having me. Yes, still a crazy Rangers fan. Not too happy about this Corey Kluber situation. The ballpark looks great. I wish there were some fans there. I might myself consider buying a cutout picture of myself, which are they're known as the Doppel Rangers. So you might see me at Globe Life.
Yeah. Now, you're not happy about the Rangers so far this year with Corey Kluber, but you were happy about what happened in Houston last night. Dodgers-Astros, the first time they met since the Astros sign-stealing scandal was investigated during the offseason, leading the firing of general manager Jeff Luhnow, manager A.J. Hinch, and so much criticism of the Astros from players on other teams, including Clayton Kershaw, Cody Bellinger. We didn't know what would happen in last night's game, but in the sixth inning, Joe Kelly on the mound, Alex Bregman came to the plate, and he was followed thereafter by Carlos Correa. This is what it sounded like on the Dodgers television network. Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser.
Kelly. On 3-0. Oof. Just get away from him.
Yeah, I think that one slipped. There was a vibe all the way here to Dodger Stadium in our booth that I felt like this would be an interesting game, and I didn't know if it would turn into fireworks, but that could have been the first salvo. Be at first and make sure he's over at first when you're going that way.
Muncy goes to second one. Seager back to first, not in time. They settle for one.
That's why Joe's looking. He slightly missed the base, and then he gets spiked a little bit, and that's why he glanced back at Brantley.
Correa 2-for-2 tonight. Look out. That was a off-speed pitch that spills him. Correa now looking out there.
Do not apologize. Let the fear, let the mystery of what was that about, let that linger in the hitter's eyes.
Here it comes. That's just what he did, and he got a swing and a miss from Correa to get out of the inning. Oh, Joe Kelly strutting his way off after an interesting inning. All right, so the benches have cleared, and we'll do our best to maintain social distancing while still sending a message both sides. I kind of just want to sit here and listen, since you can hear just about everything.
This isn't going to go away for a while.
Yeah, that 3-0 pitch to Alex Bregman, a fastball behind his head, jawing back and forth between Carlos Correa, Joe Kelly, the Astros, the Dodgers with a bench clearer. And this is Dusty Baker after the game, furious about what Joe Kelly said and did.
You know, when you throw a 3-0 fastball over a guy's head, now you're flirting with his ending his career. And a couple other guys' balls were close. And then, you know, what really enraged everybody is when, you know, he told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out. And he told him a nice swing. See, what are you supposed to do then? And then what upset me is that the umpires warned us, you know. Why don't you warn him? You know, he's the one throwing the ball. And, you know, he's the one that started this mess in the first place. So I didn't like it at all.
Joe Kelly talked to reporters. He didn't really say anything of note, sort of took the classic pitcher's tactic of, just got away. Dave Roberts was asked about whether or not he thought Joe Kelly was throwing at Bregman and or Carlos Correa, and his answer was, I really don't know, to be quite honest. The Angels' Albert Pujols is moving closer to passing Willie Mays on the all-time home run list. This was Albert last night.
Here's the two-strike pitch on Albert. He swings and lifts a high fly ball that's carrying deep out into left field, and it is out of here. Albert connects. That's his first home run and first RBI of the season, and the Angels add on. It's now 6-2.
That was career homer number 657. Willie Mays, of course, hit 660. The Padres are a team we're all watching earlier in the year, and Fernando Tatis Jr., went to a place that you almost never see right-handed hitters go to in San Francisco.
Here's the 3-1. Fernando hits it in the air the other way towards the right field corner. Long run. Davis going back, looking up, and this one is gone. Another three-run homer. This one belongs to Fernando Tatis Jr., his first dinger of the season, and the Padres jump in front 3-1 here in the third.
That from the Padres radio network. The injuries continue to mount around baseball. St. Louis Cardinals right-hander Miles Michaelis will have season-ending surgery to repair a tendon in his strained right forearm. This, of course, creating an opening in their rotation. Nats manager Dave Martinez told reporters yesterday that Juan Soto has now received the required back-to-back negative tests required from Major League Baseball's approved labs. Of course, he missed just before the first game of the season. He was scratched from their lineup and has been out ever since. The Astros announced they picked up their 2021 club option on manager Dusty Baker, as well as pitching coach Brent Strom and third base coach Gary Pettis. The Astros are also nearing a deal with veteran right-hander Fernando Rodney. They have been hammered by injuries to guys like Justin Verlander. The New York Mets agreed to a deal with catcher Bruce Maxwell. He hasn't played in the majors since 2018 with the Oakland Athletics. He was the first major league player to kneel during the national anthem to protest social injustice. That was in 2017. The Angels announced that they have placed shortstop Andrelton Simmons on the 10-day injured list with a left ankle sprain. And the Kansas City Royals announced that star quarterback Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs has become a member of the Royals ownership group. The quote from John Sherman, the principal owner of the Royals, he loves football, but he also grew up loving the game of baseball. We look forward to many years of a winning partnership. Mahomes, of course, the son of former major leaguer Pat Mahomes, who pitched in more than 300 big league games, mostly as a reliever. And, of course, we have the Marlins situation. According to ESPN and The Athletic, four more players on the Marlins tested positive in their traveling party. That brings the total up to 17 at least. We don't know for sure if those four new ones are either players or coaches or staff. Major League Baseball announced that Miami's next six games, starting with last night's game, have been postponed. They're scheduled to play next Tuesday at home against the Philadelphia Phillies. In this ever-changing schedule of 2020, the Yankees will play the Orioles in Camden Yards today and tomorrow after their game against the Phillies last night was canceled. Dr. Anthony Fauci was on Good Morning America talking about what's going on in baseball with George Stephanopoulos.
Let's talk about sports. We've seen that outbreak in the Miami Marlins. Can the baseball season continue?
You know, I don't know. I hope so, George, because I know that Major League Baseball, the players, the owners, the managers, have put a lot of effort into getting together and putting protocols that we feel would work. It's very unfortunate what happened with the Miami Dolphins. It's just, I mean, first of all, I'm concerned. I hope the players are all right. I heard about a dozen of them have gotten infected. Even though they're young, vigorous, and very healthy, I hope they're okay. But you just have to watch this. This could put it in danger. I don't believe they need to stop, but we just need to follow this and see what happens with other teams on a day-by-day basis.
Now, we're going to be talking with Carl Ravitch coming up about the Marlins situation, about what's happening in Major League Baseball and the coronavirus, and about what happened in Houston last night with the Astros and the Dodgers. Before we do that, though, of course, baseball is back. The NBA returns later this week, and then this weekend, we've got golf's first major of the season. And guess what? You can get exclusive coverage of the PGA Championship August 6th or 9th on ESPN and ESPN+. And since we know some of you may have been missing golf, we at ESPN Audio teamed up with our friends at the PGA to give you all something big to look forward to in 2021. This is your chance to win a VIP experience to the 2021 PGA Championship at the world-class Kiawa Island Golf Resort. The four-day, three-night grand prize package includes round-trip air and hotel at the Sanctuary, a five-star oceanfront hotel on the island, two tickets to the PGA Chalet and two pairs of Wanamaker Club tickets, two free one-year-long subscriptions to ESPN+, where you can stream live coverage of featured holes on every weekend on ESPN+, win a year of exclusive live sports, originals, and more with ESPN+. For your chance to win, go to www.ESPNRadiosweeps.com to enter now through August 11th. Limit to one entry, one grand prize winner will be selected. Visit www.ESPNRadiosweeps.com for official rules.
All aboard! It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravage.
Rabbi, where is the Rabbit Train going next? Because you're all over the place.
Right now, the Rabbit Train is getting gasoline, and then he's going to find a golf course and play some golf once we are done with this. But there's a lot to get into baseball-wise. This is a good day. I'm looking forward to the pod today.
I know. There is a lot of fun, especially after what happened in Houston last night. And, you know, you got asked, I got asked, what's going to happen when the Astros face one of their rivals or when they face the Dodgers? And I always thought, Carl, that it basically, in so many instances, comes down to the personality of the pitcher on the mound. Like, I checked 100%. The starting pitchers. I checked the starting pitchers going into the series. Okay, Walker Buehler's going to go. You know, he was a starter last night. He was on the team in 2017. And, you know, Walker Buehler's a good teammate. So whatever the vibe of the teammates, that's probably what he would follow. You know, he went through his time. There wasn't really anything. And then Joe Kelly comes out. I'm like, okay, Joe Kelly will do anything. And I say this with, you know, great appreciation. He's kind of crazy, you know. And yep. So I felt like what happened last night, my guess is that he didn't go out to the mound thinking that he was going to take care of business. He was struggling with his command. He was spraying the ball all over the place. He got to 3-0 on Alex Bregman, and then the light switch went on. What do you think?
You know, we have T-shirts that Eduardo made up last year that we wear with Joe Kelly Fight Club on the front. Joe Kelly is the teammate you always want to have, and when he's on the other team, you can't stand him. And whether Dusty Baker's swearing at him or Carlos Correa's looking at him, you know, I think there's something about Joe Kelly that I would love to have on my team. I like the semi-crazy guy. When I was, you know, playing soccer through high school, you had a fullback that was willing to go out and really attack somebody else. That's good by me. But if he was on the other team, I'd hate playing against him. That's who Joe Kelly is, and that's what, you know, that's what you want. And look, the Astros cheated. There's no two ways about it. Somebody was going to do something, and when you wake up the next day and find out it was Joe Kelly, that's appropriate. That makes sense. I get it. Now, the idea that you're throwing up at somebody's head, that's awful. I mean, that's awful. But the idea that it was Joe Kelly and it happened doesn't surprise me at all.
No, and he threw the pitch behind Bregman. You could see in Bregman's face is like, oh, okay, here we go. But it didn't stop there. How about the multiple pickoffs to first base with a 3-run lead with the aggressive base dealer Bregman at first base? You know, it did almost look like he was throwing at him. And I don't know whether or not he was, but I'm sure that got the Astros' attention. And then the whole back and forth between he and Carlos Correa. What was your take on all that with Carlos?
Well, the facial expressions of Joe Kelly now, that's another talent that didn't necessarily know that he had. So we got to see a pouty face and other things. Look, Buster, this just doesn't surprise me. I think that there was some restraint showed in the benches clearing, thankfully, in a pandemic. We're trying to stay away. I recall that there was some, you know, rules put into play through the agreement. Like, there is no arguing, there is no fighting. You can face some type of punishment if you do that. So there was some restraint in all of it, and that part was good as well. I'm glad that's how that played out.
I'd be shocked if this is the last time we have something similar to this, some incident like this, Carl, involving the Astros this year. How about you?
Well, I think the fact that it happened, you know, and nothing serious happened. I do think it allows other teams. I think to your point about Bregman, after being, you know, behind in the count, Kelly does that. I think Bregman's recognition and maybe others like, oh, that's right. Now I remember this was the team that cheated the Dodgers and others out of a potential World Series. Now I remember this makes sense. So I think that stuff goes on and there may be other teams that do it. It wouldn't surprise me.
All right, what's your take now on the Marlins situation as we move forward in baseball? And in particular, I've been telling friends, because they've asked, you know, baseball's going to be over. I'm like, oh, no. The train is going down the tracks. They are plowing ahead. Damn the torpedoes. Do the best you can with what you have. What do you think?
I think 100%. Look, I think that the things that I took away from yesterday was the idea that there have been over, what, 4,600 or 6,400, I forget what the two first digits were in
yeah.
that number. Yeah, tests, and nobody else on any team on the field tests positive. So, I mean, that to me means this is working. I think whatever the Marlins did to get themselves in trouble the way that they did, and there are various reports out there that there's to me reason for punitive action for some of the behavior, if in fact what's being reported is accurate. Now, again, I don't know that, and I don't want to go down a path of that's what happened. But the idea that you could be putting yourself, your teammates, and other teams at risk in the middle of what we all know is such a tenuous situation, to me, that would be something. I mean, we saw the NBA player who left to go to a funeral, ended up at a bar or something, get called out. I think you have to do that here with the Marlins. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've heard fear from guys like Dave Martinez. Other players have tweeted out about that. There's been concern. But I think generally speaking, from team to team, they were kind of knocked back by the Marlins situation because teams, I think, have developed some confidence with this, that it's actually working. It is interesting, Carl, in the last 24 hours, I'm starting to get the sense from talking with players, texting with players, that they're beginning to flex their muscles to try to improve this situation. In other words, I think coming out of the weekend situation with the Marlins and Phillies, a lot of people around baseball are asking, why the heck were they allowed to play on Sunday? You know, given that you had a positive test on Friday, three more on Sunday, why were those two teams on the field on Sunday? And then we saw yesterday the Washington Nationals basically taking a team vote saying, yeah, we vote against going to Miami. We heard about Anthony Rizzo texting Joey Votto. Hey, what do you think about playing today? We know you guys have a couple situations in your clubhouse. How are we going to do that? My sense is that players now are like, yes, there are holes in this thing, and we want to fill in the gaps.
I think that's right. I think the players also recognize that between themselves and baseball, there are extraordinary efforts being made on both sides and likely need to be turned up. You need to do more. You have identified different areas in which there are possible, you know, holes, as you say, where you get tested on a Tuesday, but your results don't come back until Thursday. Well, what happens to Wednesday? But I think what happens when you get ahead of it, when you are steadily testing and you're assuming that the behavior of the players and everyone else is in line with all the protocols, you should be okay. When you step out of line and do things that wouldn't otherwise be within the guidelines of what you would consider to be proper behavior, well, that throws the entire system potentially out of whack. So, yeah, if you have a positive or multiple positives, I think that's another valuable lesson, painful as it may have been. Thankfully, currently the Phillies haven't tested positive. But, yeah, I think you could say to yourself as a league, hold on. You know, two players from Team X have tested positive. We can't allow them to play, and you do have to press pause. I think, Buster, yesterday, too, we realized, like, you know what? There may not be 60 games in the future for every team. Some may play 56. Right. Some may play. And if we have to fall back on the winning percentage, we'll do that, too. So, again, it's a moving, evolving process, and I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, the question I got on SportsCenter last night was, you know, can baseball get to a fair and balanced schedule? And I just said to Kevin Negaunee, I'm like, forget fair and balanced, Kevin. It's not happening. This is just merely throwing something together, trying to make the best of a bad situation. And as you said, it's going to be moving. It's going to be evolving. They'll trade out different games. Like next week, you know, the Phillies are scheduled to play in Miami. If that changed, if we hear about the Phillies players, like, raising their hands, especially because they've been hearing the same stories you have about what the Marlins did or didn't do, I wouldn't be surprised if the Phillies say, you know what, Marlins can come up here. Like, yep. I think that's going to be an evolution. If some teams like the Marlins wind up playing 51 games and some teams play 58, fine. Go by winning percentage. Maybe. And I've heard this at the team level, Carl.
You tell me, though, if you say the Marlins can come up here, then what are you judging as far as you're the Phillies? You're judging the Marlins because you're inviting them up there, or are you judging Miami? Like, well, that's where I wonder if this goes to hot spots, et cetera. Why would it be okay for the Marlins to come up and play us as opposed to us going to Miami to play the same team we're inviting up here?
Yeah, that is a great question of logic that does not apply in 2020.
Right.
Especially, I mean, I just think now what's going on is the players are like, look, we don't know exactly what's going on. We just want to create a situation where we're going to be the most comfortable. Derek Jeter announced yesterday the Marlins are going to testing every day, Carl. And I've heard this at the team level. We need to go to testing every day. Forget the every other day thing. We need to go to testing every day. Do you think that happens?
Yeah, I think if they're available, I think if these teams have them, they absolutely should do it. Again, the bigger issue to me is the immediacy of the result. And that's the biggest challenge in the whole process. That's not exclusive to baseball. I think you and I talked about this. I mean, my family did test. It took us 8 days. I understand that baseball has access to a variety of private testing facilities, et cetera, et cetera. But until the test or the facility allows you to get results immediately, there always is going to be that, you know, that lead time. And that to me is the problem. You want to test every day. That's great. And like I said, for the 29 other teams, you know, you are ahead of the game. Nobody has tested positive, barring, again, a freakish outbreak, because as we've learned, maybe somebody in a hotel, maybe a worker, whatever, somebody on an airplane, you're doing everything that you can to prevent it, and yet you still get it. That I get. But I think, you know, ultimately the process has to be streamlined so that you can get results immediately. Then you'll know. That idea that you get tested one day, play that night, play even the next night and find out, that's a, like, there you go. That won't work. That doesn't work. It doesn't provide incredible security and peace of mind. That to me is the biggest issue.
Underneath the Marlins situation, we're seeing every day, it seems like, pitchers going down. Here's our friend Eduardo Perez on Golic and Wingo talking about that.
Yeah, it's concerning, no doubt. I mean, when you have Justin Verlander at the age of 36 going down with an elbow issue, we don't know the timeline of that yet. We thought it was going to be at the beginning. Initial reports were that it was going to be the entire season. Then he knocked that off and he said, wait, well, not yet. That's not the report. Corey Kluber going down at least for 4 weeks with a shoulder tear. That's teres major. These are mid-30 guys that are going down. Trying to ramp it up again and try to go 100% full throttle. That, you know, is concerning, because these are two guys that have really never had major arm issues.
Going into summer camp, Carl, that's what I kept on hearing from teams. They were fearful about the possibility in this weird season of unusual training. They get ramped up for first spring training, and then they shut down, and then they're throwing into their pillows or to their wives or into a pile of dirt. You know, that there would be pitchers that are going down, and man, all over the place.
Yeah, it is. And I think part and parcel of what 2020 is. I don't know that there's an answer to that question. I've seen a lot of starting pitchers come out after four innings. We saw it with Jacob DeGrom, who was unbelievable on opening day. And you take him out and you realize, like, this is out of an abundance of caution for the pitcher. It's clear that this is extraordinary and unordinary circumstances, the way they prepared, et cetera. I thought we'd see more hamstrings and calves and obliques and things like that, as much as we have pitchers. I think that there, you know, is a rash of big name pitchers that have been impacted. Kershaw, as you mentioned, Verlander. That in some ways feels a little bit like a negative coincidence that's occurred, as opposed to, yes, it's going to be a bunch of pitchers. That's just kind of my feeling on that.
All right. Give me some observations from the start of this season. Some teams that have jumped out to you.
Well, we knew that the Rays were going to be really good, and the Rays are off to a really good start. Cleveland's playing really well, which will be great around the trade deadline to see if Terry Francona has them there again. The Red Sox are a really, really bad team with really,
really
bad pitching, really bad. And it's interesting, you know, a lot of people were on the White Sox, Reds, and the Padres. Right now, one of them is playing well, and the Reds and the White Sox got one win. So those are quick early snapshots. But again, you go 1-4, and let's say it continues, and you're 2-8 or you're 3-5, you're in some trouble. And these teams were ones that I think most people said, here we go. Let's see what these young White Sox, look at all the moves the Reds made. hardly means that they won't come back or go on a winning streak, but those are some of the things that when you look at standings and see the way that they're playing, you're a little bit surprised by it.
Yeah, and you love the Indians because they're starting pitching. I think we'll give them a chance. Their position player group has gotten better. Francisco Lindor, you know, hitting a home run yesterday. Man, the Padres are fun. Like, they are
Padres
a are fun team
bullpen
to watch.
Is great. Yeah, they're a blast to watch. And again, even the Mets, who have at times looked good and bad, this may have a lot of this early season numbers, who you play. Your point about the Red Sox is, I mean, Buster, that hardly looks like a team representative. I mean, should Alex Cora send Rob Manfred a note thanking him for removing him from the equation? I mean, what a brutal time to be a Boston Red Sox. You just look at the names of the guys that Chaim Bloom has taken off of other teams or finding, and wherever he's finding them, they're unrecognizable. And that's not who the Red Sox have been the last 5 years, 10 years.
No, and you could see it in the body language of position players, some degree 100%. Of frustration beginning to set in there. Last one before you go, Patrick Mahomes joins the Royals ownership group. Golf claps all over the place for that. Glad they did 100%. That right away.
100%. Great for him. Great for the organization. Smart by both. And obviously with dad that played Major League Baseball and being in and around clubhouses, you know, I'm not sure if I were ever to receive a contract like he did, would I invest right away in a sports team? But it, you know what? In a lot of ways, it makes so much sense. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
All right. Kill it, Carl.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you. See you, Buster.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Jumping into the numbers.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the winner is Cincinnati by 200 points. Why, you worthless hunk of junk?
This is Hembo Knows.
And a Hembo is Paul M. McKeady. He's a researcher at ESPN who's a honcho on the show Get Up. He told us he's the head honcho. I checked with Mike Greenberg, and he said he's a wild partier that Greeny is jealous of. Hembo, I was talking with Carl Ravitch about what happened in Houston last night. It was amazing to me. It felt like, you know, Joe Kelly's out there and he's doing his thing. And then it got to 3-0 on Alex Bregman. And I felt like the light switch went on. What was your take?
I think that's probably a pretty good way to describe it. I suppose if there was any pitcher likeliest to do such a thing, the odds would have been in favor of Joe Kelly for doing it. But once you get behind Alex Bregman in that case, he threw an absolute baby to the back, and I don't know if you saw Buster. He dented the backstop. I mean, he threw that dented. Like, it was very obviously an intent pitch, and you know, given the sort of rules and regulations now, obviously it makes any sort of retaliation and any sort of pump is much more difficult. But obviously, with the bench, I'm not surprised that the bench is empty. But this year, it's just very different. Like, I think all that will be much more subdued. It seemed pretty clear based on the way that Alex Bregman took it that he wasn't stunned. Like, these guys know this is coming. It doesn't make it any easier when it does, and it won't make it hurt any less when they get hit. But I'm with you. Joe Kelly was erratic. 3-0, so we let a fastball get away. And then the pitch to Carlos Correa was a breaking ball that clearly just got away too. So it's hard to say exactly. It's always very difficult to judge intent, but I think this, I hate to put it this way, it is in a sense good for baseball. We're going to leave the first hour of our show with it today. We're going to leave the second hour of our show with it today. And this is the kind of stuff that gets fans riled up. So no harm, no foul in this case, in my judgment. And I think this is something that the Astros will probably come to expect occasionally throughout the season.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you on one point. First off, after Bregman got to first base, I thought it was funny that Joe Kelly kept firing pickoff throws over there. Alex Bregman, of course, being known as such a base stealer. And if you told me that he was trying to bounce one near him, and that breaking ball he threw to Correa that was inside, look, I you're right. Normally you say a guy throws a breaking ball, you're like, well, he didn't do that on purpose. I don't know. Joe Kelly. Yeah. Joe Kelly is an old school kind of crazy himbo, and in the back of it, he may have just said, you know what, I'm going to spin this one because that one was he didn't get away just a little bit.
No, that one didn't have much hump, and also I guess I have to remember that Joe Kelly's breaking ball is like 87, 88, which is going to leave a mark also. But this is just the start of it. This is just the start of it. And it's hard for me to blame the Dodgers for feeling such a way. But obviously, we talked about all spring, the season's so much shorter, so you have to be very judicious with how you choose to implement your frontier justice. I suppose the Dodgers did it at the right time. It didn't cost them anything, clearly, last night. And we'll see what happens tonight. That game's on ESPN.
The most exciting team in this season is San Diego Padres. What do you got on them?
But so this is a really interesting bunch. It's hardly enough time, hardly enough of a sample to make any conclusions, but it should be enough time to excite Padres fans because this lineup has taken new character with Trent Grisham, Tommy Pham, and Jerickson Profar. This team ranks first in pitches per plate appearance. They ranked 17th last season. They own the fourth lowest swing and miss rate. They ranked 28th last season. But so they ranked second in walk rate. They ranked 18th last season. And lastly, they ranked fourth in average launch angle, and they ranked 27th by that measure last season. So the combination of those new additions and a new hitting philosophy has very much produced good results so far. I guess we'll check back in a month or so to see if that formula that sticks. But I'd be really encouraged if I were a Padres fan today, waking up to see how much this team has adjusted year over year as far as their approach is concerned. And those new additions have clearly made a big impact.
Later today, I'm going to send a text to my good friend Dwayne Kuiper, the Giants broadcaster, and ask him if he's ever seen a right-handed hitter go oppo in that ballpark in San Francisco. Because I don't remember seeing it. How about you? I should have said, Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a ball right down the line, opposite field, cleared the wall. I can't remember seeing a right-handed hitter do that.
That kid is an absolute star. I can probably look up Buster to see how infrequently that's happened. But for a 20-year-old, have that kind of opposite field power is extraordinary. We talked about him last year. His adjusted numbers last season in about half of a season were as impressive as almost anybody in baseball history through that age. And we're talking about a shortstop and a kid who can really run. I'm not sure there's a more exciting player in baseball than him. And that was a club last year that obviously didn't make Manny Machado disappointed, Eric Hosmer disappointed. I don't know what it is, but to be clicking right away sometimes can be a fluke. But when you sort of juxtapose it with the approach numbers that I provided, it makes me think that's a club that could really do some damage.
Okay, we've got three young stars playing on ESPN today. What do you got? Ramon Laureano, Dustin May, Kyle Lewis.
Buster, Laureano is best known for his cannon, but he's quietly become one of the best hitters in baseball. Since the 2019 All-Star break, only Nelson Cruz, Jose Ramirez, and Alex Bregman earn a higher OPS than he does. And Laureano has produced a .459 average and an .803 slug against fastballs during that time. Buster, Dustin May became an internet sensation on opening night the video game type free pitch mix tailor-made for Pitching Ninja's Twitter feed. It was only one start, but May ranks first in average finger velocity, first in average curveball velocity, and third in average cutter velocity. He's got one of the most live arms in the sport. And Buster, as it relates to Kyle Lewis, dating back to last season, he's batting 300 with a 962 OPS in 97 big league plate appearances. His early numbers define him as a classic all-or-nothing player, grading in the 98th percentile in barrel rate and grading in the second percentile in whiff rate. But consider me a skeptic, at least for now. This is a player who struck out 277 times against 99 walks in his last two minor league stops with some fairly unimpressive power numbers. But of course, those numbers were put up with the less live minor league ball. That's something we've talked about a lot. It's hard to grade these players, hard to judge these players based on their minor league numbers, these position players, when it comes to the big leagues and all of a sudden that ball starts jumping off their barrel.
Just to follow on Dustin May, look, we talk about the Dodgers and their money, and especially after signing Mookie Betts, that 2016 draft that they had may go down as one of the best that we've seen. Their first pick wasn't until 20th overall. They took Gavin Lux. Then with the 32nd pick overall, they took Will Smith. Then in the third round, they got Dustin May. And then in the ninth round, Tony Gonsolino. That's pretty good scouting and development, I'd say. Yeah.
No kidding. It's funny because we think of the Dodgers, obviously, as a big market club because they are, and as able and willing spenders because they do. But their last season, 65% of Dodgers' participation came from homegrown players. It was the highest mark in the major league. It's a big market club that operates like with a small market mentality, and that has driven them to the sustained success that they're enjoying under Andrew Friedman.
All right, sir. I appreciate it, Hembo. Good to talk with you.
Likewise. Later, boys.
Mo Gabba, a Baltimore super fan, 14 years old, passed away yesterday from cancer. He was a beloved figure in the Baltimore area. He spent an estimated 75% of his life in hospitals and was someone who called in a local radio show to talk about the Orioles and the Ravens constantly. The Orioles recently inducted him into their Hall of Fame. And last night, after Mo passed away, Baltimore's Trey Mancini wrote on Twitter, "Your kindness, bravery, and positivity has left a lasting impact on all of us who were lucky enough to have met you. You have truly made this world a better place." The Orioles also posted this on social media, a recitation of all the fun that Mo had with the team, with Adam Jones, with Buck Showalter, with Trey Mancini. Give a listen.
One of our favorite guys is Little Mo, right?
Hello!
We got a great player that's coming out right now that we're going to give you a chance to interview. You have no idea who it is?
Oh!
You got Adam Jones.
AJ!
And look, Adam brought you a little present. Let me hold that microphone real quick, okay?
He's got something for you.
Look at that.
Oh, Mo!
You got your own jersey and your name Mo is on the back.
Yes. Thank you everybody for having me. It's just awesome to be here. Thank you very much.
Day, and we have a very special kid with us, Mo Gabba. He is a Baltimore sports celebrity of sorts, Mo, longtime caller into 105.7 The Fan.
It's the bird.
Hey, Hope, you got him.
Oil bird. Adam.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. I got this, Mom. Let's do this. Let's do this! Play ball!
Can you yell play ball?
Yes.
I thought I heard that. I think it's great to have you out here today.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to beat those Yankees one more time, wouldn't it?
Yes, let's sweep them. Let's sweep them.
We all know you've been through a lot this year, but you always seem to stay so positive. How do you do it?
Well, every day when I wake up in the morning, I always feel like I'm going to achieve something that's pretty cool. So I just think positive, and I like to have fun.
Good, yeah. Coming to baseball games is always fun. It was one of my favorite things to do growing up, too. What has been your most memorable experience coming to a game here?
When I threw out that first pitch last year, that was the best day I have ever had.
He's the most upbeat kid I've ever met in my life, and he's so inspirational. We try to get him out. He'll be here sometime. I think he's maybe coming this weekend, actually, out to a game. And yeah, I try to hang out with him and talk to him whenever I can.
How you doing, man? Good to see you.
If anybody doesn't know about him, you look him up, you'll see in a second that he's the most upbeat, positive kid in the world. So it's pretty inspiring to see.
Now, this morning I exchanged rec messages with Adam Jones, and this is what he wrote about Mo and about meeting him for the first time. He wrote, "I heard a kid that just loved the O's and listened to all the games. So we invited him to a game, and he knew all of our stats. His laugh was infectious and could brighten a stadium. He was just filled with life and optimism no matter what was going on with him. He never complained, just loved his teams and his players. Made you realize that life is short and enjoy it. He was a pure gem, and the Baltimore community lost one of its biggest fans."
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Bleacher Tweets.
All right, Buster, we got some Bleacher Tweets for you this morning. Let's rip through them. First one from my old friend Mitchell at Tigers of Detroit. Is there a player more important to the lineup than Juan Soto is to the Nationals? Their lineup looks completely toothless without him.
Yeah, among teams that we think of as being good teams, absolutely. They already lost Anthony Rendon to free agency during the offseason. When we got word of that just before the start of the game, you're thinking, boy, how could the Nationals survive the loss of Juan Soto?
Carlos Munoz at Carlos Almighty says, Francisco Lindor, Jose Baez, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, and Trevor Story, they are all 2020 free agent shortstops. Which one, besides Lindor, will end up with the biggest contract that offseason, and which ends up having the best career?
That's a great question. Those are some great choices.
It's such a stacked class.
It is a stacked class. I'm going to say Corey Seager. I think he's gotten better. I think he's figured some things out. He's recovered from that Tommy John surgery that he's had, and he looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'm certainly rooting for him. Very exciting player. Next one here comes from Eric Sorensen at Coach Sorensen 9. I'm loving being able to hear the reaction from the dugouts when you guys have big hits or big plays. I feel like if MLB can figure out how to get more of that on the broadcast, you could attract more fans by having more in-game sounds. What are your thoughts?
Eric, I said as we got started, if it were up to me as someone who covers the game, I would love no fan sound. Like I would just let the raw feed of the field because I'd want to hear the players. I think that's part of the reason why they're putting in the fans out to mute some of the voices and to drown out some of the back and forth. But it would be fun. I've been saying I'd love for it to be like an American Legion game.
Just look for me yelling up from my seat in the Doppelranger section. Last tweet this morning comes from Aaron at Aaron San Diego. It's clear that the system of having a commissioner and a head of players union is not a good one. What would it take for baseball to create a new position that would be the ultimate decision maker who both Rob Manfred and Tony Clark would report to?
No chance. Aaron, it's a nice thought in theory because you'd love some leadership in situations like this, and baseball has been sorely lacking in the leadership. But here's the bottom line. This is a business, and the 30 baseball owners are not going to turn over control of their business to an independent party. And I don't know any other business that would, to be honest. And so that's not going to change. The last semi-independent commissioner that we had was Faye Vinson, and he got run out of office because the owners felt like that he was acting with too much autonomy. So I wouldn't wait for that to happen.
Thank you for using the hashtag BleacherTweets. Send them at me over the next couple of days. I love reading your tweets. I'm glad to be back in the seat. Remember, rate, subscribe, review. I want to read your reviews. Positive 5-star reviews of the show. Thanks, Buster.
And thanks for coming back, Troy. My thanks to you, to Hembo, to Ravi. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.